Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. Three more hours to go. Quick first hour. We're going to keep it rolling. Teron Davenport. We talk with TD at this time every week. He also Talking with TD. That's his podcast. Comes out every week. You should check it out. And, of course, you hear Teron on all of our live show platforms throughout the course of the week. And he's presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. Teron, what did you make of yesterday's action in the AFC and NFC? What was your overall thoughts?
Well, it was plenty of action. I think it showed the importance of having a premier quarterback. That's really what it came down to, especially watching that Chiefs and Bengals game. So, for me, that was the huge takeaway. I don't know that I call Matt Stafford a premier quarterback, but he still made some throws that really made you like, okay, he's all right.
Yeah, and let's just get your take, because I think he is. It's a tricky. We had a nice little conversation last hour. Like, Willie thinks he's not, but just a tick below. Derek thinks he is. And I'm not sure, because I don't think he is, but he also threw 41 touchdowns this year. And you look at his stats over the years, especially on bad Detroit teams, he is pretty good. He is kind of in that tricky gray area, right? Like you're not willing to go in the Mahomes, Rodgers, Burrow,
Definitely not that.
But no, then where is he that. Below? Where is he, you know, well, how far below?
I think you have to look at one of the throws that he made. I mean, let's face the facts. He had no business throwing that post. Right, that the Kwaski Tart should have picked off in that fourth quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the thing that makes me not put Stafford in that upper echelon, is he has that double agent factor, in my opinion, where, you know, he will make plays for your team, but there are also times where he'll make plays for the other team. And I can't get down with a guy that does that.
By the way, Tart is going to kick himself for a long time on that one. Holy moly. By the way, that's something, guys, we haven't even brought up. So let's talk about what's going to happen here and how do they fix this moving forward. Because, oh, by the way, Kansas City's not going away. Cincinnati's not going away. Buffalo's not going away anytime soon unless they sustain injuries to their top guys. So how do the Titans go about trying to fix and take that next step where the last 2 years they've been one and done? How do they take that next step? If I just threw that openly out to you, take it however you want. Where would you start?
Well, I think what they're going to have to do is really load this roster up around Ryan Tannehill, unless they can move him. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it's going to be very difficult to move him. And I think at least for this next year, they're going to have him at quarterback. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they move him, but it's going to be very difficult. Because you have to find a taker. And, you know, you have people point to, well, the Rams were able to move Jared Goff. Well, that was a perfect storm for them last year. Like, every year you don't have a perfect storm. So that's something that you have to look at. But I think that being said, you have to look at building this roster around, like, further building this roster around Ryan Tannehill. And I think Mike Vrabel, he said it himself, you know, they all have to play great. And I think that's really what it comes down to. So how do you do that? You get a tight end. You're going to have to get one that could be more of a factor, one that's actually going to get a target in a divisional game. And that's not all on – listen, man, it's the truth. You know, that's not all on the tight ends the Titans had. But, I mean, you have to get one that you know, they're going to want to go to. And then, you know, you turn that around and you have to get another receiver, you know, a more vertical guy from the slot, someone that could really help out. So those, I think, would be the biggest things that they need to do in order to get right. And obviously depth along the offensive line. So long story short, impact that roster to further, you know, play around Tannehill.
Okay, I don't think anybody's going to push back on the tight end. Look, I was saying it last offseason. So you know everybody's going to say it now. So let me just run some names by you that are out there that are UFAs, and you tell me if the Titans should have real interest, or, you know, is there going to be too much, or you don't like them? Just kind of tell me where you are with them. Mike Gesicki, the big tight end down in Miami.
He's going to be too much, and I'll save you the time.
Okay.
David Njoku is the guy that you go out and get.
Okay, from Cleveland.
Yes.
All right, here's the deal. So tell me more about it, because everybody's always been in love with his athletic ability. You know, he looks the part. Everything looks great, but why hasn't he been – a tight end machine in the league? Why? Why hasn't he been one of the stud tight ends?
Injuries have played a factor. That's okay. Definitely been a part. And then, you know, I think quarterback play, you know, they haven't really utilized the tight ends as much. And then, you know, they went out and they signed a tight end too. So that didn't really help him become more productive. And sometimes I think a change of scenery is good. And at one point, this guy, he wanted to get out of Cleveland.
I know. So, he asked for a trade.
You know, so, I mean, at one point, you know, that was the case. So I think change of scenery would be good for him. But then it will come down to that offensive staff for the Titans. They have to go back and look at some of the things that was done with Jonnu Smith. And I'm not saying they're the same player, but the athleticism and the ability to be moved around and used in different ways is very similar. So that, I think, will be something. And then again, like I said, he gives you a playmaker from the tight end position, which, you know, is something that they need to add on to Anthony Firkser and those guys if they retain them. Because remember, those guys are free agents too.
Yeah, I mean, players do ask for trades, and some teams don't trade them, you know, like Mack and Joku. You know, I'm just saying. Just saying. You know, you don't always have to trade away the player. Anyway, any other tight end that besides him? Let's just say it doesn't work. That any other tight end to stand out to you that you maybe like it, that's going to be out there and available? Dalton Schultz in Dallas? No?
Schultz is interesting, but I don't know that he's that much of an upgrade over what they had okay. this year. You know, I really think that you know the one is David Njoku. That's the one that I think they need to get. Now here's the other thing: this draft class is stocked with tight ends, and you want to see a bunch of those guys, you know, down at the Senior Bowl, and as the draft, you know, season continues to unfold. So that's something else to consider.
I've heard people and I've read some things, you know, people say, you know, Harold Landry, that's a no-brainer. Like, you've got to bring him back. And I'm like, well, no, it's not a no-brainer, because if it was a no-brainer, that would be done. I mean, yeah, everybody would love to have him back, but this is a business. I mean, you have to agree on a number, and it's going to be a large number, and you have to sign up for that as a business and for years. So it's not a no-brainer. How do you think ultimately this is going to play out?
Well, I think you do have to bring him back because, I mean, he is one of their premier pass rushers, right? And it's not just rushing the passer that he brings to the table. There are plenty of other things. You know, they drop him back into coverage. He's so strong against the run. And then you also look at just his durability and where he falls in that whole scheme of things. Their best unit is the front four. So, in my opinion, it would be silly to break up what has been, like, you know, the strongest part of your team.
So even at 17, 18 million per, you're good.
You have to figure out a way to get it done. Yeah. I mean, this is a team. What have you talked about the last three off seasons?
Getting to the quarterback.
Oh, this team, and right. So I think when you talk about that and it's a glaring need and you finally get somebody that does it 12 times and brings them down, I think you got to bring that guy back. That's just my opinion.
Well, Tate, I don't think there's been yes, you have to bring him back, but, you know, you got to look at what he has been over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, mm-hmm. So do the Titans overpay for him and to potentially get, what, another 14 sacks? That'd be great if he can continue to give you that. But prior to this season, he hasn't been giving you that. So I think, yes, you need to sign him back, but I think you need to be smart because you got other guys behind him, meaning not necessarily on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, behind him, meaning need deals as well. So you got to figure out a way to get his deal done, knowing that you got Jeffrey Simmons pretty soon. You got A.J. Brown pretty soon. Mm-hmm. You got some other guys that are playing well, too, that you got to give contracts to. So, yes, you got to sign him back, but at what price? Do you overpay for a guy? Or do you say, hey, go test the market. We want to be fair to you. Because I've seen GMs do this one too. Good GMs. Go test the market. Let's be fair to him. And then we will try to work out a deal based upon that.
Yeah, I think that's something you obviously have to keep in mind, right? The price tag. And I feel that they do have to bring him back, but at the same time, he has to understand how this system, you know, and finally working with this group of guys, right, with Jeffrey Simmons, with mm-hmm. Bud Dupree and Danico Autry, that also helped his success. You know, so I think there's it kind of goes both ways, and that's why as a tandem, they need to figure out a fair number. And you're right, you know, up until this year, he didn't have double-digit sacks. And up until this year, he wasn't a consistent pass rusher. That's definitely true. And I think all of that's going to be factored in. And the good thing for the Titans is other teams know that as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, we could sit here and say that he'll get $17 million. But will he? You know, and I think that's why the whole test the market part is a good strategy, and just make it clear that they want to be fair with him and bring a deal back to him and to him, meaning John Robinson, and they'll see if they can match it. If not, you know, then they're going to have to look at other options. But I just think when you're a team that just has searched so hard mm-hmm. and tried so many times at getting a pass rusher, a legit pass rusher, you have one that's homegrown. I don't think you let him go.
Now, I listened to you, and I do want to ask you a question when we come back from break in regards to the whole Tannehill situation, because I listened to you answer Darren's question, but I'm scratching my head, not because of you, but because of all the things that need to happen in order for Ryan to be the guy.
Yeah, there's a lot.
You want to do that on the other side?
Yeah, let's do it on the other side.
Okay, let's do that. More with TD on the other side as you're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're talking with TD, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. Back here on the DDC. TD, Derek was like, okay, you got to load him up again. You got to keep giving him every possible weapon. Where would you start with that besides you've already touched on the tight end position? Where else? What else are you addressing?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, you need to add a vertical option from the slot. Chester Rogers is going to be a free agent. There are some guys in the draft that you could get. You look at Jahan Dotson out of Penn State. He'll be down there in Mobile. That's a guy to watch. But, you know, the thing that's interesting is this Titans team, they don't always like guys who are smaller or average size. They like big players, so that's where a guy like Treylon Burks comes in. But regardless, what you need to do is add more playmakers, guys that are going to get those free yards, and I think that's really the important part for a quarterback like Tannehill. You want to try to minimize the errors that are possible to happen, and the best way to do that is have catch and run guys. So that's really the big thing. But I mean, it's just so tough because, you know, here's the thing, right? $38.6 million, he's going to be the fifth highest paid quarterback in the league. At that price tag, like, you have to give back more than what they're getting. And I think that's the big issue for this team and why this franchise is just kind of at a crossroad.
And we were looking at the game this past weekend, and I text the guys, and I'm looking and thinking, like, this is what the Titans need. When you look at the mm-hmm. Titans, you look at, yes, they have A.J. Brown. Yes, they have Derrick Henry and a few other guys on defense. But they don't have game. They don't have enough game breakers. They just don't. They don't have enough speed on the field. And I'm not necessarily talking about vertical speed. I'm just saying guys that can catch a five-yard cross or a five-yard slant and go an extra 30 or 40. They don't have those guys.
They have one.
Exactly. I have one of them. You need more than one.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. And that's why I mentioned a guy like Burks. You know, mm-hmm. he's a catch-and-run guy that, you know, and he's a big player, so that fits their, you know, desire to have big physical receivers. And he would be a great option for them.
I think just one guy would make a big difference there. But, Teron, you can't have everything. And so we're talking about all these potential moves here. How would you assess their cap situation right now? Like, if it's an extreme situation, you would use the term they're in cap jail. We know that they're going to have tough decisions because pretty much all good teams do. So how do you think they've done to this point, and how flexible can they be here?
I think they're in cap parole. I guess you could call it that. I mean, they have some space to do some things, but I think it's going to cost them some veteran players, right? You look at, you know, Roger Saffold's, you know, possible cut. I don't think they cut Taylor Lewan. They'll probably have to redo Zach Cunningham's deal. So I think they're up against it. They'll be somewhat limited. But, I mean, listen, I've seen teams like the Eagles. You look at, they were up against it, and they managed to go out and sign, you know, some pretty significant players over the last couple of years. So there's ways to do it. I don't think that whole cap thing is something that will paralyze a franchise, but it will cost them some players, and that's kind of what they're facing. And I mean, this is something that happens when you know, they're kind of reaping what they sowed with that 2019 draft class. And that, I mean, like you got Jeffrey Simmons, you got AJ Brown, you got Amani Hooker, you got David Long Jr. Like, these are really good players, you know, that they're going to have to be up for, that are going to be up for new deals, you know, in the next year or so. So it's going to be tough for them, and you have to do your deals with those future ones in mind. And like I said, they're kind of up against it.
So do you think that in the near future that we will hear a lot of talk, maybe even this offseason, about re-upping Simmons and A.J. Brown for starters? Those are two guys you know you want. Those are the difference makers. You got to do it eventually. So would this maybe help get some clarity if you can lock them up this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it would get some clarity. Those are definitely some things you're going to be hearing about. It just is one of those things where timing is perfect for those guys, because they were able to have, you know, really, really good seasons and, you know, leading into the free agency period, or when their deals are going to be up. So it's one of those things where, okay, do you want to go ahead and sign those guys where they really blow up, or do you want to face the music when it's time, you know, by allowing them to hit free agency. Now, I mean, obviously with Simmons, you know, they'll exercise the fifth-year option. A.J. Brown, I mean, we'll have to see what they do there. But he's another one. I don't think that they could let him go, you know, because they've been dying for a receiver to come in here and take over, and he's done just that.
What's the range that we're talking here? Let's just use A.J. Brown. $15 million, $20 million, what's the neighborhood that you would like to get him locked up for?
Yeah, that $15 to $20 million is probably the neighborhood that you would like to get it done. And, I mean, you have the cap that's going to be going up a little bit more too, exploding, you know, in the next couple of years. So it kind of matches up with them having to, you know, pay the piper. So you just – A.J. Brown is a guy that, I mean, he's so critical to that team. I mean, I don't think you can let him go.
Quickly. Here's my last one for you. Speaking of paying the piper, is there a way to work Ryan Tannehill's contract to get the cap figure down? I know they pushed the pile back from last year to this coming year to try to get Julio Jones in, et cetera, knowing the cap was going to go back up here. Do they need to pay the fiddler and just have him play at $38 million next year, or is it worth trying to whack it down again to help be able to do some of these things you want to do?
Yeah, I think you just, you know, bite the bullet this year, because after this year you do have ways to get out. It's still going to be expensive. You know, you're talking about like $18 million next year, but, I mean, I don't think you continue to load that side of it, because you want to be able to get out of that at some point. Because, I mean, look, you know, he's not getting any younger. He's coming off a year in which, you know, things regressed for him. So I can't see stretching out that deal or trying to make that happen, you know, to less than this year's number.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Well, we'll talk to you next week. We don't need a Super Bowl. I was going to say, let's get your Super Bowl pick, but we can wait. We can wait on that. Hey, have a great week. Thanks for doing this.
I appreciate you.
All right, Teron Davenport, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. We will come back with more. Don't forget, This Is What I Know, coming up in about 20 minutes. Bon Jovi tickets at Bridgestone Arena in late April on the line, but you'll have to call in and participate. You are listening to the DDC right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Tim. Twic time coming up in about 15 minutes. Looks like Josh McDaniels is going to be the Raiders' next coach.
Hmm.
Why now? Why is he deciding to bounce now?
He gets a second opportunity.
He does. In the same division.
Yeah, that Raider team is – that's a good team. They're putting together a good team. I mean, you know, he might be the one that – you know, because we know Gruden really – he and Carr really wasn't on the same page. Maybe he comes in and he and Carr are on the same page. He's a brilliant offensive guy. You know, you got to give him that whether you like him or not. He knows offenses. So I wonder why now.
I mean, why did he say Indianapolis, sure, and then come back and I changed my mind. Like, he's had opportunities. Like, I wonder why now. They just drafted what they think is their franchise quarterback, right? So why is he bouncing now?
Well, Bill might not be going away no time soon.
I guess so. Maybe that is the writing on the wall. That hey.
Speaking of Bill, on that note, I was listening to the MMQB podcast this morning. They brought this up. Josh McDaniels now has his second shot, right? The first one didn't go great. He ends up back on the staff. Who is the all-time most successful Bill Belichick assistant to go on and do great things as a head coach?
Hmm.
They went through it.
Is Florio up there? Is it Flores?
Who?
Flores.
Oh,
the defensive coordinator. Yeah.
Oh, I was like, Mike Florio? Yeah, no, I don't think
Flores.
He was on.
Yeah, he wasn't
Belichick's
on that league, yeah, right. He interviewed his staff, but he wasn't on that staff.
He was before Bill. That was that old Tom with the nice hair comb over the Raiders back in the day.
But he has to be one of them, doesn't he?
Bill O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien is the number one guy. He is the most successful of any. And then you can go down the list, and it's kind of comical of some of the guys.
Oh, how Eric Mangini. I mean, there was
Eric
some flops.
Mangini. Matt Patricia.
I was going to say Patricia. Yeah. Flop.
McDaniels didn't go very well the first one.
There's, he was
like
flop.
11. It's like 11 of them, I think they said. And O'Brien is the most successful. So
it has to be O'Brien and then Flores.
Probably. That's probably right.
Yeah.
And Flores won 10 games the last 2 years, right? So 20 games total. I mean,
it still got fired, but oh well.
Still got fired. Yeah.
By the way, still hasn't been rehired.
No, still hadn't been rehired. So that's interesting. But I did want to ask you guys a question because we ended the call with TD about AJ Brown and re-signing AJ Brown and getting it back. And what would that cost? And you know today's NFL. Guys are talking to other guys. The guys are trying to recruit other guys during the offseason. Obviously, coaches can't do it. That's considered tampering. But they find, you know, other players find a way of talking to other players to get them to come, you know, along with them to a ball club. Now, if the Titans indeed continue down the road with Ryan this year and possibly next year, do you think then A.J. Brown is looking at it like, man, if they're going to keep this guy, I may have to go somewhere else. Because as a receiver, he's a bona fide number one receiver. You know, if you're talking about young receivers, he's got to be in the top two or three. If you're talking about just receivers, period, he's a top 10 receiver. How long does he stay with this organization while Ryan's the quarterback?
Well, he can't go anywhere next year.
Yeah, he can't go. Yeah, exactly. So
that's 1 year right there.
Uh-huh.
And I think if I'm the Titans, I am going to make it worth his while to stay. In other words, you offer him the extension.
You got to change quarterbacks
before.
Though. You have to. Money's
well,
not going to.
Eventually, gonna, they will.
Money hasn't. Money can't do it alone because other teams are going to want to pay him too.
He's gonna, right.
But,
exactly.
Okay, but Derek, you know how this works, right? AJ Brown, if he doesn't take, he wouldn't take the extension this year. He would play for his fourth year next year and risk getting hurt like Chris Godwin did, and risk then having his market value change. I mean, that's a tough thing to change up. I think he really likes Ryan Tannehill. I think he likes the Titans.
Likes him as a person, Willie, is different from liking him as your quarterback.
He's put up great numbers. He's put up great numbers from Ryan Tannehill.
He put up good numbers. He's put up good numbers, not great numbers. Maybe if he, well, if he was with Mahomes or some of these other quarterbacks, he would have put up great numbers.
He's not going to go to the Chiefs. He's not going to the Chiefs.
I know he's not going to go to the Chiefs.
There's only five teams that have those quarterbacks.
He could possibly go to the Bills. But what I'm saying is this. How do you entice him to stay past next year?
Money.
You're enticed. No, it can't be money alone. It's not money alone.
Because everybody else is going to offer.
Exactly. Everybody else is going to offer him money, too.
Well, who are their quarterbacks?
It doesn't. I get it.
It doesn't matter. There's about five guys that are upgrades from where mm-hmm. Tannehill is.
Absolutely.
You know, we're talking about elite mm-hmm. guys. And that's a risk, right? You know, when you change organizations, there's an X factor there. It doesn't always fit the same way. He knows what he's going to be expected to do here. I mean, it's a really good question you're bringing up. I just think that, first of all, it's a long time before he really has the choice mm-hmm. to go. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't he still restricted after 4 years? He's not unrestricted after. I'll have to check this. But he's under a 4-year contract because mm-hmm. he wasn't a first-round pick. They don't have the fifth-year option on him.
Correct.
But I would think
so. You basically got him. You got him until next year.
Next year, that's it.
And then you got to start working on that deal possibly next year. So again,
I'm working on this year. I'm doing it this year, man. But again, I'm not waiting until next year.
If I'm AJ, I'm not working on it because again, it goes back to the quarterback. Whether I like him or not, whether I think he's a cool dude or not, can you win a Super Bowl with him? Because everybody else is going to offer you the money. The money's going to be there. You stay healthy, the money will be there. That's not an issue. The issue is the quarterback position.
Well, they've been to the AFC. His 3 years, they've been to the AFC championship game, and they've got two division championships. That's a lot closer than about 80 to 90% of the teams that would be interested in him.
But we just said that we just said they can't win a Super Bowl with Ryan.
I'm not saying that. You guys are saying that, if that's what you're saying. I don't know if A.J. Brown is saying
Well, the head coach said it.
He didn't say that. He said you've got to have a great team around Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, Willie, which means if everything's not perfect, Ryan's not going to win us a Super Bowl. He's just not going to do it. So everybody needs to be great. And what did I say last week? That's just not going to happen. In other words, he's saying – Ryan's really not our guy, but we're stuck with him.
Well, I don't know why he's not
AJ,
their guy now.
AJ is stuck with the Titans for next year. So this doesn't even become a – if he wants to wait and play next year at 4.5 and not take whatever the Titans offer him, then he can play it out. And then I'm looking at spot rack. He would be an unrestricted free agent after next year. So he could, quote, bet on himself, but that's an awfully big gamble.
I would be really surprised.
I just don't see how, if the Titans offer him what he's worth, mm-hmm. and we just said it, $15, $20 million a year, how do you turn that down?
How is it a big gamble if you're AJ Brown? I don't think it's a big gamble at all. Betting on
yourself?
You
don't think it's a big gamble? He's already been injured a couple of times in his career already.
Nope.
You don't think it's a gamble to go to another team? Who's the quarterback?
No,
of the
you're
team
saying
he's going
to,
when
you, well, when, well, you, when you get to, you're a free agent,
you can go anywhere. Yeah,
they get to pick your team. I mean, you don't.
Yes,
think he's,
but that team has to have the money to pay you and have the quarterback that's better than what you have here. That's not a guarantee.
Okay, but I think I understand what Derek is saying. Like it's a foregone. Everybody thinks it's like, oh, he's going to be re-upped here. Well, he's looking at through a wide receiver's eyes of. Okay, so he's not getting any younger. He's going to be in his mid-30s. He's not elite.
Who's going to be in his mid-30s? Oh, Tannehill. Okay.
Tannehill. So when he's going to be a quarterback in his mid-30s. Like, what? Why would I sign up long-term here if I don't know who's going to be my next guy?
Okay, but where are you going?
He get to pick. He gets to,
I know.
That's the great part about it. He gets to pick.
You act like nobody makes room. Like Arizona traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Buffalo traded for Stephon Diggs. I mean, this stuff happens all the time, Willie. Like teams, if they want you, they'll figure it out. I mean, if the Rams are showing you that when they want somebody, they can't figure it out. No, they show you that anytime they want something, they may go make it happen. It works.
I have not heard a shred of attitude from A.J. Brown that he doesn't want to be here.
Oh, because he's going to say that publicly at a press conference? Like, look, guys, I'm disappointed, and I'm just going to let you know, I'm not really that happy here right now. I mean, like,
look,
he's going to say
pretty,
that?
He's a pretty outspoken guy on social media.
He's not going to say that.
Come on.
He's not going to say that. He's not going to. Willie, he's not going to ruffle any feathers. He's not going to.
Do you think he has a special relationship with Mike Vrabel?
Who?
A.J. Brown.
Special? No!
Yes. No?
What makes you think what makes you think he has this special relationship?
Okay.
He has a relationship with Vrabel.
I think it's pretty clear that he has a pretty special bond with Mike Vrabel based on what he said and what Mike Vrabel said when he came forward very bravely, courageously, and said he had, you know, he was grappling with suicide.
What is your head coach supposed to say?
I know, but let's not take for granted that every head coach handles it very well. Do you think? I mean,
every head coach would handle it just like Vrabel handled it. When a guy comes out and says that,
I don't believe
every head coach handles it the same way. Because if they don't, Willie, it's a PR disaster.
I don't believe that. I don't believe every head coach is that good. I think Vrabel has a good bond with his players. I would be shocked if he does not end up re-upping with the Titans. It just makes too much sense.
Shocked is a pretty strong word.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
Pretty
I
mean, willing strong to go out word.
I would love for him to stay here, and the Titans would love for him to stay here. But this is A.J. Brown you're talking about. This is a receiver. He's looking around the league. He's looking at all these guys, all these other receivers having these huge numbers. And some of these receivers had these great quarterbacks and these great offensive schemes. And he's sitting here. And he's thinking like, man, should I? Yes. As Willie say, yes, I got a great relationship and a special relationship with Vrabel. But that greatness and that specialness ain't going to win us a championship if this guy's our quarterback.
Going back to the Stafford conversation, if you don't think Stafford is a cut above, Cooper Kupp has always been a really good receiver, really good. They changed to Stafford from Goff, and look at him this year. 2,000 yards receiving, should be the MVP of the league. That's the difference in what a quarterback can make a receiver look like. Cooper Kupp was a good receiver, wasn't a great receiver because he didn't have a great quarterback. And they bring in Stafford, now he's viewed as great. That's the difference. We totally look at Cooper Kupp completely different now in a different light because of who's under center for the Rams. We wouldn't be having this conversation if it's Jared Goff. We wouldn't. So you don't think that receivers around the league don't look at that? You don't think they don't know that? I mean, the quarterback is going to make your career.
I think he's been really, really good with Ryan Tannehill throwing him the ball. His stats have been really good and potentially could be better if he just stays out there. If he's just available, he'll put up the numbers. He'll make the money.
Well, I would agree with that, and I'm not suggesting that he is thinking about going anywhere else. I'm just saying I understand what Derek is bringing to the table. I mean, he's looking through the lens of a wide receiver. He knows what that position looks like in the NFL. He knows how you get paid in the NFL. He has seen that lens up close and personal. And to think that it's a crazy notion what he's throwing out there is, I mean, you'd be crazy to think that's crazy. Because
well,
it's
I don't
not.
Think he's going to take a discount, but I think if they offer him a fair deal, then I think he'll sign the extension.
Derek is 100% right. You're missing the boat. This is not about money. This has nothing to do with money. He's going to get paid no matter what. This is truly about
not
who's
if he gets
throwing
hurt
me the
year.
Ball.
If he gets hurt next year, he will not get paid.
I'm going to sign up long-term for a guy that I don't know whether he's going to be here, not going to be here. If he's not going to be here, who's going to be the next guy? Is it Logan Woodside? I'm signing up for that. Like, you don't think A.J. Brown has the right
you think that
to weigh
plan,
those options?
That Logan Woodside will be their quarterback?
I have no idea what their plan is.
Really? You don't have an idea? You think Logan Woodside might be the quarterback of the future?
I hope
he's
not.
Been here for 3 years. Does it look like they want to get rid of Logan Woodside? They've had every opportunity.
I'm asking you a question. You think he might be the quarterback of the future, Dan?
I don't know.
Then if I were A.J. Brown, I would blame him at all for leaving. If that's the case, I don't think that's the case.
Well, why have they had him as
He's
the backup
not
for the last
be the
3 years?
Logan Woodside is never going to be the starter for this team.
Really?
That they go into a season as the starter. No. He will not.
Well, I do agree with you on that, Willie. If he becomes a starter, we have a huge problem. If he becomes a starter, we have a huge problem.
Yes.
Okay,
that's my point. That's what I'm saying.
But
now, I don't know who's going to be the guy, but I know it ain't going to be him.
Right, but don't you think that's something that AJ Brown and his camp is talking about? Like, well,
yes,
who is the guy?
Ryan Tannehill will be the guy next year. Mm-hmm. The year after is the real question.
Right, but right, then, we're not talking about next year. We're talking about the year
after.
They've
got to find another.
That's
a hard thing to do.
You're answering my question.
That's what I was going to say. You're going right what Derek is wanting you to do.
So why would I redo a deal, Willie, next year? Because the money, if I stay healthy, and the Titans are not going to sign him at the beginning of the season, I would be really surprised if they did re-up him at the beginning of next season.
If he stays healthy this offseason, if I were the Titans, I'd go to him this offseason and do it. That's what I would do.
They ain't going to have enough money. I mean,
they have to do it. He's a priority.
He's a priority. But he's the priority for them, not next season, but the season after that. And then if you're A.J. Brown, you got to think, okay, if that is indeed the case, who's the quarterback? Why am I signing back and I don't even know who the quarterback is?
It's a great discussion. We'll pick it up a little bit later, but we'll come back. Tell us what you know. We'll do that next. We do. We want to know what you know. It's really simple. Blank canvas. Take it wherever you want. 615-737-1025. Just tell us what you know. That's our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Pair of tickets to see Bon Jovi at Bridgestone Arena on April 30th. This is what I know, guys. It seems like there's a lot of people starting to put out there that, Coach Khaki Pants, Jim Harbaugh, is very interested in the Minnesota Vikings opening. Is he going to bounce?
A lot of smoke.
Is he going to bounce from Michigan and go back to the NFL?
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Just saying, a lot of people are starting to put some stuff out there that old Coach Khaki Pants is pretty interested in Minnesota. So that's what I know.
This is what I know. People on Twitter get so carried away sometimes.
They're crazy.
In the moment.
Yeah, they crazy.
Aren't they, Willie?
They're crazy.
How about this example yesterday? The Chiefs get first and goal, down by three. Bengals have to take their timeouts. Remember, the Bengals are ahead in the game. And this thing on Twitter, and I was stunned at the people tweeting this. These weren't
this
just like
thing on Twitter.
Joe Blow fan. These weren't just Joe Blow fans tweeting this out. But like highly known media people. Let them score. Let the Chiefs score.
Name names.
Andrew Brandt. Was one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Other guys that we have on the show a lot, people that cover the game nationally, I have to go back and look. But they were ahead. Like, if the game was tied, then no doubt. Then that's the strategy. That strategy can work. But they were leading the game. They had shut out the Chiefs in the second half. And people were saying for the Bengals to let the Chiefs take the lead when you have the lead. Thank goodness they didn't, because on the next two plays, they sacked Mahomes back-to-back times, and they almost got the fumble that won it in regulation.
Do you think they buzzed down to Zach Taylor? Check Twitter. Coach, check Twitter. They're saying, check it. I'm just telling you, they're saying let him score.
But there were so many people tweeting that. I do think that CBS, somebody in the truck, or somebody relayed that to Romo and Nance and had them address it, because it wasn't 30 seconds later that they started talking about it, and I think it threw them off, because Tony Romo went off onto some tangent going the other way, saying that the Chiefs should waste time and not score right away, should go to the 1 yard line and run the clock and then score, as if you can do that, without the Bengals putting up any resistance. But it got way overthinking with what everybody was talking about there. It just became confusing. You're ahead. You don't let a team score when you're ahead and you can hold them to a field goal to tie the game. That made no sense at all.
This is what
I know. Twitter's crazy.
This is what I know.
Twitter's cray-cray.
You're right. I don't know what Tony Romo was thinking. I really don't. It got to a point where I just was like, confused, what are you talking about, Tony?
I've been bringing this up about Tony Romo this year. Like, I watch his games, and I'm like,
he's overdoing it now.
He is.
He's overdoing
he really
it. He's in
is.
A slump. He needs to dial it back he's just a little bit.
I'm like, Tony, what are you saying here? They should waste time? No, they shouldn't waste time?
I'm
no, they
you.
Shouldn't score. No, they should.
Go back and watch the Dallas-San Francisco playoff game and listen to him. It was borderline unlistenable. Like, for me, like, I was just like, I can't take this anymore. Like, this is too much. Tony Romo is going absolutely crazy. Like, this is too much.
Yeah, he should have just took a deep breath, because even Nance was like, huh? He almost was like, what are you talking about? Seriously? Was like he almost wanted to make sure that's what Tony was saying. Like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
But then, okay, here's my second one to get it over with. When you are doing a halftime show, CBS, you need to factor in the noise that's coming from the music, because I couldn't hear anybody. I didn't hear what their analysis was of the first half. I didn't hear anything.
Don't build the set on the field?
Exactly.
Like, during halftime? Yeah.
I don't think they heard one another either. I just don't. It was the funniest and worst halftime analysis I've ever seen.
Well, they had the Fox crew down there on the field, too, during halftime.
I couldn't understand any one of the guys. Mm-hmm. Didn't hear a thing they said.
Is that what you're talking about, the Fox broadcast?
Yeah, the Fox, not CBS, the Fox. Yeah, the Fox.
SoFi, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, it was like, man.
I know, it was loud. And they were down there, and it's like, okay, there's a concert going on, so you're indoors, too. So maybe you guys find a better spot. All right, let's go to the phones before we get out of here this hour. Let's go to Mark. You're up first. What do you know?
Well, I've got what do you know, and then I've got a question. And one thing y'all talking about Nance and Romo, I keep waiting for Nance to stick his tongue down his ear. He's got such a damn man crush on him. I mean, they need to be on the beach rubbing suntan oil on each other. I mean, my God. It makes me sick to watch Nance sitting here with his tongue drooling, his mouth drooling, with that goofy smile on his face, and I'm like, he's fixing to mug him right now. I mean, I'm serious. The second thing I wanted to ask you guys, now that's what I know, and I also know Andy Reid's kicking himself in his cottage cheese butt for not kicking the field goal before the half. I guarantee it.
Well, he's basically
the other thing
admitted
I wanted to ask you guys, and it's a serious question. I'm not being a smarty pants, but if we were going to make a change with John Robinson, who would initiate that change? What would be the process, and what would it look like, hypothetically?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have time to get into that because it's not going to be anytime soon. So that's not even, like, in the cards. It's not on the radar. It's, that's
– 5 straight winning seasons.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
His contract getting re-up. So he'll be here for a while.
I get it. By the way, you can't use cottage cheese and tongue in the ear of, and then say, no, but I've got a serious question. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny.
That's
I've got
a
really
segue.
Serious question. Really? Like, you just talked about cottage cheese butts and tongue in a guy's ear. But I got
suntan
a serious
lotion.
Question. Yeah, suntan. But, hey, I've got a serious question right now.
It was funny, though.
Well, I'm still a little bit scarred. Let's go to Nate. What do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. I hope Chase is listening right now, because this is for him. And
he doesn't know what day it is right now, Nate. He's not listening. He has no idea what day it is. He's been on a bender for 3 days.
We all should be ashamed of ourselves for not bringing this up with his drops. You're my boy, Blue!
Nate. Now I do hope he's listening. By the way, I was just kidding about. He's been having fun in the Smoky Mountains. All right, I'm just kidding. Don't take that literally. What I said, I was having fun. By the way, that's good. Thank you. We know where you're going with that. So maybe he'll be listening in 4 hours. Let's go to Eric. Eric, what do you know?
This is what I know, guys. Two things. Number one, Cincinnati lost the coin flip, but hey, they still won the game because they made an interception. Imagine that. Buffalo could have done the same thing last week. And number two, guys, there is one person that I know for a fact hates this matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals, and that person is Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns. That is what I know. Oh, y'all take Eric. Care.
Bringing it strong. Yeah, nobody's crying about the overtime rules today.
No, it's interesting how that works.
It's weird. Finally, Kenny the Mailman, what do you know?
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Great.
Wonderful.
You know what? It's so easy to be cynical or sarcastic on this is what I know, but maybe I ought to give you one like I'm living on a prayer. The Kansas City Chiefs fans really stepped up the plate. A couple of years ago, the Cleveland fans sent a lot of money to the Buffalo Children's Hospital in honor of Josh Allen. Do y'all remember that?
Not really.
I don't know.
It was over $500,000 because they Buffalo win got Cleveland in. Well, anyway, last week, in $17 increments, over 20,000 Kansas City fans donated to the Buffalo Children's Hospital in honor of the game that was played in Kansas City. And on top of that, out of the blue, New York Giants fans have sent over $100,000 in $17 increments because they hired a Buffalo coach to be their head coach. So that's over $500,000 to a children's hospital coming out of games that either people were really excited or really upset about losing, but they did remember it's just a game. Right. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. Great stuff. With Kenny, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes he's got a little, you know, sass to him. He can have a good little punchline at the end. I wasn't sure if this was going to be a joke or if he was being serious. So I was.
Yeah, he keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, you don't know if Kenny's going to joke or if he's being serious. I think he was being serious with that. All right, good stuff. We'll come back. We'll head east. Speaking of the Smokies, we'll talk to Vince Ferrara next.